So, I was asked by Rob a few months ago, these whole hot potato questions, right? So, I literally get the email, and it says, hey, with the new legislation, I think that, what do we do about pot for your question? And I check, I'm like, it's on my phone, I'm checking my email, and I literally look up, and due to smoking this giant doobie in front of me at work, and I'm like, you know, no, I'm not going there. But it started this train of thought. So he and I have had these conversations all along, and if you ever want my personal opinion on it, I'll give you my personal opinion on it. If by the end of this message you haven't figured out what my personal opinion is on it, there you go. It's funny, though, is because the question that I said back to him eventually is, I get where you're coming from. I get where the general middle class Caucasian church is coming from. But I think we're asking the wrong question. It's kind of like, you know, go back 100 years and what does the church feel about alcohol? You know, what does the church feel about women wearing pants? What does the church feel about men wearing pants? Go back to Jesus' time. I remember my strangest run-in on the street. I went up to this lady and I started asking, you know, hey, how you doing? I've met her before. And she goes, you're a heathen. I go, what? Like, that's how she started the conversation. I said, okay. Called other things, but heathen, that's a new one. And she goes, you can't be of God because you have no hair. And I literally stopped for a second. And I just looked at her and I go, now that's just mean. Like, I can't help it. And she goes, yeah. And then she told me that, you know, oh, you're eating, it was by McDonald's. She goes, probably going in there to eat meat too. And I go, yes, I am. I think it's meat. And she goes, that's, you know, she told me some other things I won't repeat. And then I said, by the way, those fries you're eating, those are cooked in meat. She spit it up and we ended our conversation. Pretty sure there was vegetable oil, but I wasn't going to tell her. So I'm going to take you back, and just so you know, we're jumping into Romans chapter 2. And I love how Rob preempted some of you, and I know all of you that got the email went and read it, right? Yeah, okay. Romans 2, you're going to say, man, I have not heard Romans 2 preached many times in church. There's a reason why, and when we get to reading it, you'll hear why. You don't usually hear it preached. That's how pastors lose their jobs. And I don't have a job here, so go ahead. And I have a new job starting in April at my other place, so again, go ahead. But I think it's important for questions like this, on what do we do with this? What do we do with that? What do we do with addictions? What do we do with people who are on the street that are robbing everybody? What do we do with people that steal from us? What do we do with people who curse us, that come against us, that put us down now because of our faith? What do we do with all that? What do we do with the people who do the things that I just hate, that it literally just makes me just cringe? What do we do with those things? So I'm taking you back about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I was in Portland, Oregon, and I was down there for doing my master's degree right now, and this is our last intensive, so we go to different cities each semester. So we're in Portland, and we'd finished our class for the day. It was like 10 hours of just lots of stuff. And the difference, though, with this time is that there's two classes that they've brought together. So there's my class, which is like six people. We're all around the same age. We're all like in ministry positions, some of us parachurch, some of us are pastors. And we've been doing this program together now for 2 years. So we've got this tight bond, right? And of course, I came in late, and I walk into the room, and there's this other class, which is 11 people. Most of them just graduated college and are maybe like a year out and now have decided to start their grad program. So they're like 23, 24. And I walk into the room and I'm like, dude, I feel old. Now, most of you would have said that in your head. I did not. And I didn't realize it was a time of prayer they were happening. And so it was a beautiful moment. And so after we did this whole thing in the first day, we go to this place, Powell's Books, which is in Portland. Now, my wife is an avid reader. I'm actually building bookcases this weekend for more of our books. And I'm reading like all this fancy stuff for school and all that. And I realized when we walked into Powell's, and it's like this huge bookstore, like just huge, wall to wall, bigger than this gymnasium. It'd be like, I think it is actually an old school that's been renovated. And so as we're driving over there and we're carpooling, they're talking about all these books they want to check out and these authors, of which I've heard none of them. I know none of them. They sounded very intelligent. They're really probably great. And so we walked in and I'm kind of like, you know, kind of lost. But I wandered around pretending I knew what I was doing and looking for an interesting book. And then all of a sudden I found this, it was like a, oh, and it was literally called the gold section there. So if you're ever down there, go to the gold section. Graphic novels. Comic books, beyond comic books, beyond comic books. I mean, we're talking like walls and walls of comic books. I'm just remembering it right now. I walked in and I'm like, yeah, I'm just looking for my kids. And so I spent most of my time there. Now, on our way in, though, I passed this gentleman. And it's like, I'm not what I do. It doesn't define who I am or anything like that. But it does make me aware of certain things that are going on. And so I could tell that this one guy was about, he belonged there about as much as I did. And he was in there, though, to stay warm. And I kind of figured that out. And so I went, and within about 10 minutes, I'd bought my comic for Manny. After I read it, I gave it to him for his birthday. And I was done, and so I walked up, and there's kind of this entryway. And I went and I sat down. I was just going to wait for the rest of my classmates, and we'd all take off together. Well, within about 30 seconds, all of a sudden, this dude comes, and he just sits, like, right next to me. There's lots of room. And I liked my bubble, but he decided he didn't care. So he sat right next to me. And we just sat. Stared forward. And then finally he leaned over to me. He says, I don't get it. Okay? What don't you get? They're coming in here. I know they've seen me before. I know they know who I am. But they pretend like they don't see me. And I'm not even joking. That's literally where he went. Right away. I said, well, I see you. What's your name? They call me Toast. I said, well, they call me Preach, where I'm from. Oh, we started talking about that and where he's from, where I'm from. These people are on a dark spiral downward. But if you think that leaves you on the high ground, where you can point your finger at others, think again. Every time you criticize someone, you condemn yourself. It takes one to know one. Judgmental criticism of others is a well-known way of escaping detection in your own crimes and misdemeanors. But God isn't so easily diverted. He sees right through all such smoke screens and holds you to what you've done. You didn't think, did you, that just by pointing your finger at others, you would distract God from seeing all your misdoings and from coming down on you hard? Or did you think that because he's such a nice God, he'd let you off the hook? Better think this one through. God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. You're not getting by with anything. Every refusal and avoidance of God adds fuel to the fire. The day is coming when it's going to blaze hot and high. God's fiery and righteous judgment. Make no mistake, in the end, you get what's coming to you. Real life for those who work on God's side. But to those who insist on getting their own way and take the path of least resistance, fire. If you go against the grain, you get splinters. Regardless of which neighborhood you're from, what your parents taught you, what schools you attended. But if you embrace the way God does things, there are wonderful payoffs. Again, without regard to where you're from or how you were brought up. Being a Jew won't give you an automatic stamp of approval. God pays no attention to what others say or what you think about you. He makes up his own mind. Now you see why they don't read it too often. Mainly because I don't even like to hear it. The first thing I did when I walked in there and I saw him out of the corner of my eye was go, oh man, here we go. This is going to happen. Thanks a lot, God. I thought I got a break. I didn't want to talk to him. I didn't want to deal with whatever he was dealing with. I could see that he was high as a kite. I literally wanted to just walk around and do nothing. On the way down, actually, as I was running late, I made a phone call to Rob. And I said, buddy, I need you to be praying for me. I said, because I'm in a bad headspace. And I'm driving into a place, Portland, Oregon, through Seattle, where I'm from, where there's a lot of old demons, a lot of bad habits, that I'm afraid, with the way my brain's going right now, that I'm going to jump there. And he said, I'll be praying for you. And continually throughout the week, he was checking in with me, making sure I was staying on the straight path. And so that was literally the same day when I'm running into Toast here. And I'm going, man, I just don't want to go here, God. I am so not ready for this right now. But as we sat there, we started talking. Found out that we have two kids that are about the same age. I know it's not hard for me to find kids around the same age. And the town where he was from in Texas, I had family that used to live down there, and we talked about that a bit. Talked about his mom, who's got cancer, stage 4. He hasn't been able to call for a year. Told me it's because he's such a disappointment to her and doesn't want her to talk to him this way. Hasn't seen his girls for a few years. Started asking, like, where do you sleep at night? Where do you go? Told me about this big, like, mark on his face. And, he didn't understand why the pit bulls were chasing him. And in part of his story, he goes, and then I jumped over the fence to get back out. I'm like, well, Usually those two don't go together. If you got the key, I'm pretty sure you don't have to jump over the fence. And he kept talking to me over and over about the people coming in. And he goes, I know it could be the psychosis. He goes, I know that. It could be the psychosis. But I just feel like they're just looking at me and they know me, but they don't want to talk to me and they try to ignore me. And he's like, it's like I'm invisible, but I'm not invisible. He said, I'm not invisible. Why won't they just talk to me? Why don't they acknowledge me? Why don't they remember our stories? What we've done together? He went on to say, he goes, are they just trying to forget what we've done? Who they are when they're with me? If you sin without knowing what you're doing, God takes that into account. But if you sin knowing full well what you're doing, that's a different story entirely. Merely hearing God's law is a waste of your time if you don't do what he commands. Doing, not hearing, is what makes the difference with God. There's a young guy, his name is Mikey, here in town. And this is about, 6 months ago, maybe even longer. He took a drug and he was coming down and he was having a bad trip. And he's over by the Starbucks downtown by Savon there, kind of walking towards Salish. And somebody was sitting in the Starbucks there. And so as he was flailing about doing the dance and all that stuff, this guy decided to bust out his phone, start videotaping him. And he was videotaping him, and then he posted it on Facebook and on like 3 or 4 different sites, and everybody started to make their comments. I hope he dies. What a waste of life. Probably the dude that stole my bike. It just kept going. I mean, there's hundreds of comments. Just kept going and going and going and going. Some people would come back and say, try to support him. It was about a month and a half ago, that I did the memorial service for Mikey. Those people got what they asked for. Literally. But he didn't die of an overdose. He had heart failure. He had heart disease, and he'd had it for a while, and it finally took him out. And the things he was taking to try to get rid of the pain that he was dealing with every single day of his life. It's finally gone. Now I know Mikey knew Jesus. I know Mikey had a relationship with God. But I also know he had an addiction. And he kept giving into that addiction. And see, the difference, though, is that his addiction was easy to see. It was easy to videotape and put up on Facebook. Mine's not. All of mine aren't. Well, some of them. I do like some food. And I eat too much of it and stuff I shouldn't have. I know that. But I got other stuff I deal with too. Just like every single person in this room. I got in trouble for this before, so I'm going to say it again. I was talking to men in general, so guys, sorry about this. And I said, 75% of men have a problem with lust. 25% a problem with lying. Go there. Right? It's a reality. Men, myself included, we like naked people. Some naked people. There's a bunch of people in here I know that are probably taking more other prescription medications than they should be taking. There's people in here that have health issues, and yet they still go and eat and do the things that they shouldn't be doing. Guaranteed there's people in here right now that are drug addicts and alcoholics. Guaranteed. Guaranteed there's families in here that need to have conversations, and in their relationship, things aren't good right now. But when they walk through those doors, they're really good at putting a good face on. Guaranteed. There's people in here right now that have a big problem with lying. I can be one of those people. My wife will guarantee you that. See, when I grew up, it was like ends justified the means. The little white lies didn't really matter. As long as, you know, we were successful, we were doing well. As long as it really didn't hurt anybody too much, it was okay. My wife grew up in a family where that just didn't happen. So when we got married, it's been a 20-year journey. We'll call it a journey. More like a battle. Because it's that automatic thing, right? Did you take the garbage out? Yeah? Then why is it right there? Stinking kids, why'd you bring the garbage back in? Did you brush your teeth this morning? Yeah? That'd be gross. You know that your toothbrush's battery's dead, right? I used Hayden's. Don't ever use Hayden's. Did you take your meds this morning? Use that one, I'll say. Nope. And I'll blame the ADHD on it. We've all got sin in our lives. We all got things that are going wrong. We all got things that we mess up on, and we mess up on over and over and over again. We all know better. We all know, and we all know about this word repentance, and we hear about it. And we like to say that we do it. It means turn away from, run away from. And then when we mess up again, the shame and the guilt kicks in. Then we start lying about things, and we start covering things, and we start being mad at ourselves. We start putting ourselves down. People read this passage, and they look at it just on its own. They don't look at all of Romans, which I would suggest to anybody, read all of Romans. Paul's making a point. He's making it over and over and over and over again. When we read it, at least when I do, when I first started reading it, I always isolated myself. And I always looked at myself and said, well, who am I judging? What is getting to me? What are those sins that I can't stand? I've used this example before, but it's a perfect one. Is it? The folks that I work, we have 45 people living in the portal right now. 25 have been there since December 20th till today. And the other ones have rotated. We've had 130 people rotate in. And my biggest complaint, my biggest argument when people are coming in is if they are an alcoholic, do not put me by the druggies. And if they are a drug user, don't put me by those stinking alcoholics. Because they have such a judgment for each other. And they look down on each other. At the end of our conversation, Toast and I, he asked me, he goes, well, could you pray for me? Never asked me for money. Never asked me for anything else. He just asked me if I could pray for him. So I snuggled right up next to him because I didn't want to make it a public display. And we just prayed together. My wife and I have been going to this church for almost 4 years. I'm looking around this room right now. And maybe on one hand, I can count how many of you I've done that with. And one of you, it was 20 years ago. If we are the image of God, if we are the community of Christ, if we are the body, why is that? That's on me as much as it is anybody else. And that's the point I think Paul's trying to make. See, things were going good. He wanted to get back to Rome. He was really wanting to get back to Rome. But things kept coming up, stopping it from happening. You know, prison, that kind of stuff. He wanted that fellowship. And he was trying to tell them that fellowship's a good thing, and God's given us each other, and God's given us this salvation, whether we're Jew or Greek or Gentile. All that stuff doesn't matter. Whether our sin's this, 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 or this, it doesn't matter. And if we really believe that, it's going to mean fighting through our shame, fighting through our own personal guilt, not judging one another, not judging ourselves, and allowing God to do what God wants to do through us, through the body of Christ here in Chilliwack, here in Canada. I look at the gifts, the abilities, the life experience in this room right now. And our biggest strength is our weaknesses. Because in our weaknesses, that's when God shows up and you can't even claim it. So, my question is, and I'll end here. Who are we in this story? Because that was Toast. But that's also been me. My challenge this week, pray for somebody in here that's you've never prayed for before. Don't need to know all the details. Don't need to know why. Just know that every single one of us needs prayer. And I'll do the same. because of this next song we're about to sing, says, we are no longer slaves to fear. We're no longer slaves to shame. We're no longer slaves to sin. Because through Christ, death has been conquered for all of us. And by grace we are saved. But it doesn't mean we get to just go sit in a recliner, kick our feet back, and do nothing about it. And I know the makeup of this church, you guys aren't like that. It means that God will stir things up in us. And in obedience, hopefully we'll grab onto it.